Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway. Oh, wow.
Simply the best. Better than all the rest.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here. Woo!
For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4.
Hey, ho, let's go. Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Thanks for your company. We are at Bankwest Stadium, where in just under 2 hours we'll be kick off the Rabbitohs and the Titans right in front of us. Before then, at 2 o'clock, perhaps one of the greatest who have ever played in this area, not in this exact stadium, but on this patch of turf, Peter Stirling will join us.
I'm not looking forward to seeing Pete today.
Really?
Why? Yeah, well, the result last night, yeah. You know, he's going to be up on his toes.
But does he? He doesn't dig you.
He's got a subtleness about the way that he does things like that. That yeah, he'll let me know about it at some point during the afternoon.
I think he's quite humble.
He's a very humble man. But the big thing this week is if the Titans beat the Rabbitohs this afternoon with Maroon calling, and then what he'll have to face on the Sunday show tomorrow will be... It's always worth listening to the Sunday show, but gee, if the Titans win, make sure you do not miss it.
It will be ugly. The Dragons, of course, they go around tomorrow evening. And a little while, Nathan Brown, we will have a chat about what went on earlier in the week with the decision by the board, an emergency meeting called on Tuesday, from memory, Tuesday morning, and it was decided that he would stay on Paul McGregor as the coach. We'll get your thoughts on that in a little while. Still plenty to come right now, though. We've spoken a bit about the Broncos and that narrow loss that they had. Much better performance. Our man in Brisbane, Ben Dobbin, joins us right now. G'day, Dobbo.
G'day, guys. How are we?
You're not too bad. Chin's up a little bit after that performance.
Well, it depends how you look at it. I mean, certainly it was an improved performance by Brisbane. There's no two ways about it, but they had a fair way to come. The other way to look at it is they had an 18-0 lead and they got rolled and they didn't score a point after the 30-minute mark. And for whatever reason, the effort was there, Tone, and that's the big thing I think that members and fans and anybody who supports the Broncos can take out of it, but there's still a lot of work to be done. There's going to be some question marks about game management and how the halves. Now, look, we can talk about that Anthony Milford 40-20 and whether or not that was the wrong decision or not, but in the end, they should never, at 18-0, the good teams don't lose. The Roosters, Parramatta, these strong sides, and we saw just what Manly did in the second half and how Daly Cherry-Evans, the number 7, took control and just how well and what a threat Manly are to this Telstra Premiership.
Hey, Dobbo, we were having a chat before just about the fact that these young forwards, it is a great forward pack, but they're spending so much money on some of those, lots of money on Milford.
Yeah.
Have they got that balance right with the recruitment?
Oh, well, Em, if they win the comp, everybody would say, yes, they have. I don't particularly think they have. And look, it's a really clear situation with what's gone on in the last 24 hours as well. They released Andrew McCulloch because Jake Turpin was their preferred number 9. And now they're about to announce that Isaac Luke's coming from St. George and he's joining the Brisbane Broncos. Now, how does Andrew McCulloch feel? 250 games for the club. That experience is absolutely crucial at this time. No one envisaged that Jake Turpin was going to get injured. But you think, well, did they rush too much? Does Isaac Luke, it's going to be a sort of a James Seguiaro type role for him while Turpin's injured, and then he'll have to fight because they don't want to burn Corey Pakes out. I don't think they've got enough experience there at the moment. I think that they're lacking just that really hardened seasoned footballer in that pack. But you got to remember, they've lost Matt Gillett last year. They never expected him to retire because of injury. You take him out. Obviously, Mac has gone there as well. There's a wealth of talent gone from that side.
Isaac Luke, is that an immediate move?
Immediate move. He's leaving St. George. He's asked for a release and he will join the Brisbane Broncos. I expect him to be training next week. Yeah, he's asked for a release. He's disgruntled. I'm not sure if he'll play. I'm not sure if he'll play tomorrow, but he won't be there next week and he'll be at the Brisbane Broncos next week.
He's disgruntled.
What did he expect?
When was he gruntled? I'm not sure why he would.
He expected he was going there to start and he's not. And there's a lot of talk about a few players that are disgruntled about St. George, but I mean, I'm not as close to you guys at it, but Isaac Luke will be a Brisbane Bronco by next week.
And is it just for the remainder of the year, Dobbo?
1 year deal. Yeah, 1 year deal.
What's the chat around about young Dearden being possibly on the move, Dobbo?
Well, I mean, look, a lot of people will talk about it. He's not going anywhere. This is the big thing that everybody says. Seven clubs want him. Yeah, of course they do, because he's a superstar in the making. He's 19. He knows where his future is. He knows exactly what's going on. Unfortunately for Brisbane, every man and his dog's going to be... Just hang on 2 seconds, guys. You guys go ahead. Sorry, I'm just on the golf course while I'm talking.
Hello.
You guys stay off.
Playing through, are they? How many times has that happened to you, Dobber?
No, never. Hey, listen, the big thing about Dearden is at the moment is that he's been told about his future. His manager, Sam AU, manages him and Anthony Milford. My honest understanding is if there was a choice, Milford would go at the Broncos. My understanding is that if it came down to a selection of who they'd get rid of, it wouldn't be Tom Dearden, it'd be Anthony Milford.
Okay. What are you playing off?
Oh, 14. Badly, though.
Off the Blues, hey. I'd imagine.
Hey, Dobbo, who's the, like, obviously the Bronx got a lot of talented young players there, and I'm sure most of them seem to have big futures there, and if Dearden's going to be in the halves with Croft or with Milford, who's the long-term fullback going to be if Darius is obviously retiring at the end of the year? Well, he's not playing fullback at the minute, but it was Darius for obviously a fair period. Who's actually going to be the long-term fullback? What's the plans there?
They're pinning their hopes on Xavier Coates. Now, I know he's on the wing at the moment, but they believe he's a fullback, a Brett Mullins-type fullback, that long striding fullback that can make a real difference. But at the moment, they're going to play him on the wing. Jack Bird was the ready made replacement. But if I'm honest with you, I don't believe Jermaine Asako at 24 is doing a bad job. He's fought for his position. I mean, his hands have been outstanding this year. And to be honest with you, I think that they're quite surprised. He's got another year to go. Look, he's not the superstar James Tedesco type, but at the moment he's doing the job. And why they can coax, obviously, coach through, and also that Herbie Farmworth, and give them an opportunity just to grow and get some NRL experience and then shift them, I think that's the long term future for the Bronx.
He looks good, Herbie Farmworth, too. He's a player too, isn't he?
Yeah, both of them. They've got an array of talent, like Xavier Coates, Herbie Farmworth, just absolute superstars. You've also got Corey Oates, who played on the edge, and I didn't think he did a bad job for a bloke that hasn't played there since he was 18 years of age. So, I mean, they've got a heap of talent there. You also got Jesse Artless, who got dropped, and Jermaine Asako. So, I mean, Darius stood up. His numbers were much improved. And for Darius Boyd, they were much improved. But the big news is that, you know, they have got them there. They just need to get some games into them.
Hey, Dobbo, in the post-match press conference, Anthony Seibold said it doesn't really matter what some of these Broncos legends are saying, and he's not listening to that. But you're in and around the camp throughout the week. Do you think Anthony Seibold is listening to that? And do you think he is feeling pressured at the moment?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt, and Brownie, you can weigh in on this, that as an NRL coach, the pressure's always there. I mean, it's a result-driven business, and, you know, he's got arguably the best roster in the competition for a young roster. You've got to look at, have they gone backwards so far this year, or have they improved since last year? And I, at the moment, you know, after 2 weeks, I would have said they've gone forward, but, you know, the last 3 weeks, I think that they haven't improved. He's feeling pressure. I don't believe he reads it. I really don't. I talk to these guys all the time, and I actually asked him straight out whether or not he did prepare stats prior to the last week to lose, and he said he had no idea what I was talking about. Now, I genuinely, in this instance, believed him when he said that, and I said to him, like, is that true? And he said, mate, as if I'm going to prepare to have an excuse after we get beaten. I go into every single game thinking we can win, so... He's got to take a bloke on his word, and that's what he told me this week.
Hey, Dobbo, the Knights next week, it doesn't get any easier for the young Broncos. Who do they get back?
Yeah, look, they get Tevita, and it's not going to make a huge, well, it will, but Tevita Pangai Jr. back from suspension. I mean, he'd be ruining that shot on Justin O'Neill in round one, and with everything that's gone on, and also Alex.
Well, he needs to learn from it, Dobbo. He needs to learn from it because he's one of their senior guys now, and it's just, it's been there for all to see how important he is to that side. His presence is needed out there, and he left him in the lurch. So it's not just about, you know, ruining it. He just needs to understand he can't be doing that anymore.
I think he's been told that. So I think he got suspended at the end of last year, and I think he's had the right act written to him I mean, you want that firebrand. It's feast or famine. You need that guy who has that edge, but you just can't afford him to be giving away time on the sideline when you're one of the highest ranked edge forwards. And he is a superstar. He just needs to manage it. And I mean, the Alex Glenn injury, no one expected to get a tag and have the laceration and have that time off, but he'll be back as well. So
They're
getting some troops back slowly but surely.
All right. Dubbo, we'll let you go before another group. You have to let them through on the golf course.
Third hole, par 3, 150 metres. It'll be a nice, sweet 5-iron off the tee.
Five iron. You'll get the driver out for that, Dubbo. Come on.
No, just a 5-iron. My son, who's with me, my 15-year-old, he's got the one wood out, so he's really okay.
All right, mate. Good luck with that, and we'll catch up soon. There is Ben Dobbin. We're at Bankwest Stadium. We see some of the South Sydney players out in the middle of the ground having a bit of throw the footy around. See Adam Reynolds there. He's got the big headphones on. I hope he's already had his temperature tested because it can't elevate it, we understand. But he's there. They're ready to go. Kickoff will be at 3 o'clock. Plenty to come on the Saturday Scrum. Crowd house for you. The world where you live. As Triple M rocks the footy, Bankwest Stadium, that is where we sit. The bottom of the table, that is where the St. George Illawarra Dragons sit, a position that most of their fans are fairly unfamiliar with and a little bit bitter and twisted about. They've been calling certainly the Red V Army. If you go online, ooh, it can be a dark and dangerous place. If you haven't
looked at... Tony, are you bitter and twisted right now?
No. I'm firmly of the belief that the game is better if the Dragons are somewhere near the top of the table. That said, it's terrific. If your team isn't at the top, it's much better when they're down the bottom because you get so much coverage. You read about them all the time in the news every day. I'm upset that they're not improving. I'm upset that it's been a long period. And it's difficult for someone who is used to success, and not me personally, but through my team. That's the only success I get, Em, is via the Dragons. We haven't had a lot of that. You obviously are made of Paul McGregor. The decision was made by the board earlier in the week that his contract would continue for the time being. Then there was kind of some talk that he's been given another 4 games. We don't know what, you know, the truth or not of that. Before we get into that right or wrong of that, you're a good mate of his. How does he cope at the moment, personally?
Yeah, look, Mary, you know, he's got a very experienced staff down there. He's got some people that he can lean on, I'm sure, for some advice on team selection, on the way they're playing, on why it's going, how it is. And Mary's, you know, he's obviously a very, very, very well-organised person, more organised than most people I know. And a very, very extremely hard worker. So he'll feel in his mind, you know, the harder I work is going to give us a better chance to come out, and he'll lean on his coaches. But, you know, he'd go through some difficult times as a coach when you're in these situations. You know, people probably don't understand, but it probably affects family and close friends probably more than it actually affects you, because they're actually looking and hearing everything that's coming in, where as coaches, you know, you're not going to the paper or going to social media to just watch everyone bag. You know, he's sort of not really
involved. He's had the internet turned off at his place at Taraji.
But what he'd have is he'd have a mate ring up and say, can you believe what that absolute bludger said about you? Or, you know, then.
Yep.
Yeah, so you can't ignore it, because people tell you what's going on, your close friends or family, you know. So, and the worst part of it is probably the way it can affect families, I reckon. Yeah, that's probably the thing.
Kids at school and.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, what about the work ethic? Because there's been a lot of talk about that. He spoke after the game, and he was terrific. He came out, and everybody knew the pressure he was under. And he spoke honestly, and he knows where he's at and where his team's at. But he talked about what he would be doing after that game, which was basically going back, studying video till 3 a.m. and getting up and being there for the coaches to come in at 7 o'clock, so he'd be at, you know, 6 o'clock. His work ethic is so strong. Is that what's needed? Is that kind of just put one foot in front of the other and just keep walking on, trudging along?
Oh, look, it doesn't matter what coach you're talking in the NRL, you know. All the coaches have got good work ethics. The ones that don't have good work ethics aren't going to survive, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people have their different styles, I suppose. Like, you know, Wayne's style is very different to most of the new coaches, but Wayne's Wayne, and he's got a unique style how he does his stuff, and no one can try and copy off that, or they'll end up in the outhouse, you know. So, but is Mary working any harder than what Brad Arthur's working, as opposed to what Adam O'Brien's working? They're all working harder. They wouldn't hold a position in the NRL.
Let me ask you this, Tony. You've followed the club for a long time, and they called the extraordinary meeting the other day. I'm not sure why, because, you know, essentially nothing came out of it. I have to say I was a little bit surprised that, you know, Mary was still there at the end of that meeting since it was called. But you might know more than me. Now, Bruce Gordon the owner now of 50%? He's got the Steelers share, yeah?
Yep.
So what are his intentions with the club? Because I think that's really important to understand. If it's, you know, really astute businessmen don't get into the habit of losing money and making poor decisions around, you know, their finances. So if he's looking at it from an owner's perspective, he's obviously a fan of the club. You can look at the Russell Crowe model where his investment, he was willing to run at a loss because he got so much joy and he was so passionate about the club. Bruce, I'm not so sure. But if I'm looking at it from an owner's perspective, and I've got a coach there that's reportedly on, I don't care, $600,000 or $700,000 a year, and I look at the whole organization and I'm thinking, okay, so if we're four rounds into the season, one, can I bring someone in at this point of the season that can dramatically change where we're going? Who would that be and how much would that cost? The answer would probably be no, unless the guy sitting here is, you know, interested in a position or whatever it may be. And what's that going to cost the club? So you've already got 700 going out. Yeah. So on top of that, to get a guy in that's got the reputation, that got the experience, because I think that it's not just Mary and what we're seeing on field. I think it's the whole back of house as well, the whole administration, retention, recruitment. That joint needs to be, and I know we use it quite often, but it needs to be rebuilt. It's a big job, and Brownie will tell you, you know, what a job that would be and how much that will cost. Or is he looking just to get to that club to make him some money at some point? You know, does he want, you know, I'm sure he wants success for the club, but at what level? Financially? Or does he want to get the investment back in the success of the club and them doing well on the field?
Well, anybody who's done as well in business as he has, I think the financial thing, he certainly doesn't want it to be something that loses him money hand over fist. He doesn't want to be a drain, does he? His son, I think, is...
Andrew,
and he's, I know, a passionate Dragons man and wants to see success. I'm sure they both want to see success, but there's got to be a lot of truth in that in terms of the money that was going to be needed for a payout. Then you have to add up who can you get in and what you've got to pay that person.
I think... Yeah, if you look at the history of the Dragons, yeah, the Dragons aren't a club that get rid of coaches mid-year, regardless of what media people go at them and say they should do this or should do that, or what the fans say. They're not a club that reacts on the outside noise. They never have been. And why they had a board meeting the other day, what was discussed, I wouldn't have a clue. It's certainly none of my business, but... They've, you know, it doesn't surprise me that Paul McGregor is still coaching, because where he was at some other clubs, you'd be thinking, well, he would have been gone, yeah, because that's the way other clubs react, you know. But St George aren't like that. And just on the Dragons, I mean, for St George, people are talking about, you know, who they should get in or who they shouldn't get in. You know, the power brokers, when you're in these situations, they need to decide themselves where they think their roster's at. Yeah, because you need to. If they didn't want Mary to coach, why do they go and get Coach X or Coach Y? That's for any club, you know, when a club's struggling. You know, there's, you know, rumors about different clubs that are going well and they should get this person to coach, that person to coach. So, you know, for me, when I looked at the Dragons coming into this season, I didn't give them a hope in they'll finish in the top 10, because I saw where they finished last year and what did they add to their roster. Or who did they develop last year that was going to make them way better? Now, if you look at Penrith, I thought Penrith were a genuine chance of making the 8 this year. They added Appy Corrissau.
Yep.
They brought in Zane Tedovano.
Luke Capewell.
Plus last year, Ivan introduced some more really good young players who are emerging. Mm-hmm. The Knights, Jaden Brayley was going there, who, you know, we thought was going to have a big influence on the club because of his style of play, which he was going well. We knew Bradman Best was going to be a very, very good player. Jacob Safidi had the setback, which everyone was confident he was going to play really well. And Adam O'Brien was definitely going to bring some good stuff from his coaching background. I thought the genuine chance. Why were the Dragons all of a sudden going to be a top 8 side this year? Who did they introduce to the club that was going to make them a better roster than what they had last year? Jack DeBellin would have been huge for them if his court case had been done and he could play. But who have they provided at that makes everyone think the Dragons are going to have a good year this year?
So obviously they've got the same amount of money to spend as any other club, so the fans are obviously disappointed at the fact that they haven't put themselves in a position to be a better side than last year. So
who does that responsibility fall on? It's been well documented that he wanted to distance himself from a lot of those recruitment decisions. Mm. And if you looked at the beginning of the year, when you go around and all of the experts put in their tips, no one picked them to be in the top eight.
No one at all. Not even you, Em?
Well, no, I didn't. No, there might have been someone.
Sadly, you definitely didn't, Tone.
We're going to continue this conversation a little bit later on, but sadly some of our Queensland listeners are going to go to listen to the Brisbane Lions. This is the Saturday Scrum. We thank you for your company.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, their trade is to be better, stronger, so you can work smarter. That is King G. We thank them so much for their support. We're at Bankwest Stadium this afternoon ahead of the Rabbitohs taking on the Gold Coast. The Titans, a few of them are out in the middle of the field, just, again, kicking that footy around, getting themselves used to the space. They will be filling come 3 o'clock. We're talking about the Dragons and how they are imploding. That sort of thing has been spoken about, Nathan Brown. The club needs blowing up and starting again. That's a big call, isn't it, really?
Oh, definitely a big call, you know. And it was only a few years ago when, you know, I don't want to bring up Jack DeBellin's name, but he was playing, and obviously Gareth Woodup was there, and James Graham was a little younger, and they weren't a long, long way away, you know. But things can change quickly, drastically sometimes, you know, if a few things don't quite go your way.
And how important are perceptions? We see, you know, the players now, that's what we're hearing. Players don't want to be there. We hear Tristan Saylor has, I don't know if he's actually asked for a release. In fact, I think we've got Wendell Saylor, just before you go, Gertz, speaking on the Rush Hour about his son Tristan and his relationship with the club.
Where will Tristan Saylor be playing in 2021?
Oh, that's a good question. Look, he'll be at the Dragons till the end of this year, but after that, I suppose it's up to the club and up to him if they can sort something out. But I know he wants to stay. He doesn't want to release, so good luck to him, and hopefully he makes the right decision.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, Tristan's a good young player, and, you know, Mary might be looking after some of these young guys as well at the moment. Maybe it's not the right environment to start pushing young guys through all at the same time. They've already got a couple of young guys in their side. I know everyone's calling for opportunity. But to me, look, it's been a little bit confusing because, you know, we heard that Zach Lomax was going to be their fullback. The Dragons have basically gone into an NRL season without really knowing 100% who their fullback, one of their most important players in their team, was going to be. So Zach had a game there. Now, he's come through the system, I think, in centres and whatever. So he's back in the centres. Then, you know, they gave Dufty a go. Now, Dufty had one or two bad games, and then now he's sort of out, and then they gave Norman a go. Like, for me, the Dragons, when they're playing, and I watched them here live last week, they look very nervous. We know that they haven't got a lot of confidence, Brownie, but they look like a really nervous. They look like a side that, and I guess as a coach, you've got to hold people accountable to a certain degree, but you've also got to allow them to play their natural game. And I just think the way they are at the moment, they look like, you know, if you haven't got any stability, confidence in the position that you're playing, and you know that, you know, if you obviously got to play well and be held accountable, but you've also got to have some faith in the fact that, you know, you can make some errors and you're still going to hold your position, and that's your spot a little bit as well. And you need, as a coach, I guess, to get that message and that balance right. Do you think Mary's getting that right with the team at the moment?
Unless you're there, it's always hard. And, you know, when I've been taught Mary lately, the one thing we don't really talk about is rugby league. He's got 8,000 people telling him what he should and shouldn't be doing. So we just more talk about how everyone's going and general chit-chat, you know, but look, they're obviously not playing well, and they're obviously not quite playing to their potential, and Mary would openly say that himself, you know. Why has it come about, and how has it come about? You know, I feared for the Dragons when Tyson Frizzell signed for the Knights this year and said, I'm leaving the Dragons to go to the Knights because I want to win a comp. And I don't know Tyson Frizzell well, but he's an outstanding bloke, everyone tells me, and a terrific player. So when your best player publicly says, I'm leaving here because we're no hope and I'm going down the road who's a big hope, you can dress it up however you like. There's got to be players that are playing in that team that think, I'm not that good a player, or this bloke wouldn't be leaving. That's just the fact of the matter. You can dress that up how you like. Here's a great bloke who's your best player who's leaving you because you're no hope of winning. That's what he's saying.
That is essentially what he's saying.
That's 100% what he's saying.
But on the issue of confidence as well, James Graham actually did say during the week he thinks it's all just psychological for them at the moment, because as soon as you lose a couple in a row, you've lost all of your confidence, and no matter how hard you try, you go out there, and he said, it's hard. All you need, say, is two or three. Just say if an individual makes an error or two each, and then that contributes to they've got the worst completion rate in the comp. And he and Cam MacInnis both said, if we are holding on to the footy, I guarantee you we'd be up there more in those games, and that comes down to confidence. But how do you, until you get a win, how do you get that confidence back?
It's extremely difficult. I mean, I've played under the circumstances and coached under them, and it's not easy, you know. Like, you, a little bit of luck, you need some luck. But the biggest thing that, you know, I think what the Dragons need is they need 17 people who are 100% committed to trying to get a result. And when they do that and something falls their way, we'll see Ben Hunt and Corey Norman and these blokes come up with some, conjure up some good plays. But they certainly need to get, when you're down on confidence, it can be difficult. But if you saw James Graham last week, he couldn't have tried than he tried.
No, absolutely not.
And after the game, you could see the hurt in him, because James Graham has played for 1,000 coaches, and he's never, ever let a coach down on his commitment and effort. And the other day, he couldn't have tried any harder. No, he couldn't have given any more. But I reckon if you spoke to him, he felt for his coach, because he gave everything he had. Now, the challenge for James Graham is to get, you know, to try and collectively to get the rest of the team to give 150% effort like he did, and you'll find that something will bounce their way and they get a win, and all of a sudden they might win one or two games. But I'm not seeing a win around the corner for the Dragons at the moment, but I didn't give the Broncos a chance to beat Manly the other day after their performance week from either. So
look, against the
it
Sharks,
it can happen quick.
In the local derby, who knows what's going to happen. Are they always going to be chasing their tail, though, with some of the investments they've made over the past couple of seasons that, you know, a lot of people say they haven't got right?
Oh, look, it's difficult, and it's...
Because if they're losing guys...
If you make bad recruitment decisions, which we all have, you know, we made millions of decisions at Knights in the last 4 years when I was there, and we didn't get them all right.
Sure.
But you've got to get your big ones right, because if you get them wrong, there's no way out of them.
Yep.
That's the thing. You know, there's no way out of them unless you offer a lot of finance, a lot of compensation, you know. So, but, you know, I always say that, you know, the best clubs produce at the bottom end of the table, and I'll live and die by that for as long as I live. And at the moment, you know, for the Dragons to get themselves back to where they would like to be, they need to start producing good from the bottom level, because you can't. It's hard to attract players. You've got to have a story to sell. And at the moment, for the Dragons, I would imagine recruitment would be extremely difficult with.
Yep.
Obviously, Tyson leaving, you know, Jack DeBellin situation. Like, if a really good player's on the market today and he's got the Roosters, he's got Parramatta, he's got Newcastle, he's got all these clubs, and he's got the Dragons, what can the Dragons sell to him?
So they just tried to get Moses Sully, actually, and he decided to stay at Manly for a year less and far less money.
The actual truth there is the Dragons pulled out of that a month ago. That's 100% fact.
Really?
Yes, that's the truth.
There you go.
So Brownie,
don't listen to everything you hear in the media.
So
liars.
So they need people coming through their system. Yeah, and we know that they've got great systems, especially down there with their Illawarra connection. So, okay, so you've got a guy like Corey Norman that's been to four or five different clubs, and then you've got a guy, let's use Tristan Saylor, that's been in their system since he was 13. Is it now the time to give Tristan Saylor, if we're saying that, you know, you need that club need to build from within, is it now the time to give guys like Tristan, that, you know, they there's a little bit, it means a little bit more to them, you know, because they've been part of that organisation for a certain period of time, to have a crack at that jersey.
If you look at, one of the players that's been talked about, young Saab, who's, I think everyone agrees, is certainly going to be a long-term first-grade player. The challenge is he physically ready at the moment? Because he's going to, if he gets put out there now on the wing, I'll guarantee you what's coming his way. He's going to, the first team he plays, they're going to be kicking it to him, and he's going to be coming on play one or play two, and he's going to be getting it served up to him. Now,
but that's going to happen regardless.
No, it is, but is he physically ready to handle that at the moment? I'm not at the club, so I can't answer, but I would imagine that, I know in the preseason he had a shoulder reconstruction, so he missed most of the preseason. So physically he might be ready, because if you do put a good player like that out there, and I had one or two at the Knights that I believed we didn't have any choice, because my first couple of years we... people getting paid, they had to play, and it can actually have a big effect on the player's career going the wrong direction instead of the right direction. So sometimes, unless you're there, it's really hard to get it right,
yep.
Unless you're really there. And also the situation with how the club's struggling at the moment, Gerds, as you said, it might not be the right time. If he was playing for the Roosters or one of those clubs, it might be easy for him to get in there and get camouflaged a little bit.
Yep. All right. Well, no offence to the beautiful people of Wollongong, but if they'd decided to wear occasionally the white jersey with a big red V, they may go a little bit better.
Oh, stop it.
Just drag it out of their cupboard, jersey with a big red V.
I didn't think I'd say this today, but Nathan Brown is the guy with the second least amount of hair in this box.
Peter Sterling's arrived, the mayor of Parramatta. Sterlo is going to be with us for the hour from 2 o'clock. Plenty to come. We can do a bit of Believe It or Not next on the Saturday Scrum. Thanks, King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Lovely to have your company on this Saturday afternoon as we head towards kickoff 3 o'clock. The Rabbitohs and the Gold Coast Titans right here at Bankwest Stadium. Nathan Brown is here, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler. My name is Tony Squires. And at 2 o'clock, the great man himself, Peter Sterling, will be with us right now. Though, time for this.
Believe it or not.
George isn't at home. All right. Believe it or not, I'm going to throw a few statements at you. You have to tell me whether you believe it or not, and probably a little brief why.
Okay.
Other than just, yes, I believe it, or no, I don't believe that. I'll start, obviously, the Parramatta, the game they won here last night, important game, Nathan Cleary and Mitchell Moses going head-to-head. Mitchell Moses should be the Origin halfback. Emma Lawrence, believe it or not?
I don't believe it.
You don't?
I'm not. I think he's certainly in with a chance, but Freddie loves Nathan Cleary, and I think Nathan Cleary did even coming into last year, he was under a lot of pressure. Everyone was saying maybe don't pick Nathan, and Freddie still went with Nathan. And as Brownie mentioned before, Mitchell Pearce did such a good job. And if Mitchell Pearce is in form as well, and he and Ponga have a good combination, the Knights are flying, Mitchell Pearce is well within a shot. So I don't think it's – I'm not saying Mitchell Moses won't get it, but I don't think it's – I don't think he's the front runner.
You've answered for yourself and for Brown, Nathan Brown, it seems. What do you think? Do you believe it or not?
I think Mitchell Moses, his year last year was his most consistent, and he seems to have started this year building on the back of last year. The big question for Mitchell will come at the end of September, October, whenever the grand final is this year, those type of bigger games. When he gets an opportunity to play in those games and deliver in those games, that'll tell you whether he's ready. I've always been a big believer that you look at the Origin and you love to see these blokes in those key positions to have, won grand finals or delivered in the semi-finals before they get thrown in there. It's not always, can't always be like that, but... Yeah, there's Mitchell Pearce who's delivered and won in grand finals, and Luke Keary who's won plenty of grand finals, and Nathan's been there. So the big challenge for Mitchell is Parramatta keep going well. He gets his opportunity late in the season, and he delivers late in the season, he's certainly going to put his hand up.
Good.
I think what makes it good for these guys coming through, especially with so much healthy competition in key positions, is the fact over the last couple of years, Freddie's been willing to change a winning side or the team that won the series. When they lost that game in the first game of last year, did they lose the first game last year or the second game? He was willing to make changes. So therefore, I think it gives everyone that belief that if I'm in good form at the back end of the season, I play well in the finals, Freddie's going to look at me seriously. And I think he's in with a chance if he plays well in the finals.
All right. Here's a harsh question. We've lost our Queensland viewers, listeners, haven't we? That's good. Okay. The Cowboys are done. Done and dusted. They won't make the eight.
Yes, I'm a firm believer of that. I thought last night, Tony, was do or die for the Cowboys. And I'll tell you why. Mm. Well, the games that they've played so far this year, they lost against the Broncos. They've beaten the Dogs. They've lost against the Sharks, they've lost against the Warriors, and I think they beat the Titans. So they've had a nice run in where you would think on the back of that, you'd want to be 4 of 5, maybe 3 and 5, but certainly not 2 and 5. We've got the shortened season. Now, let me tell you about their next 7 weeks. Tigers next week, which is very doable.
Very prepared, isn't it?
Then they've got the Knights, the Eels, the Roosters, the Panthers, Manly, the Raiders. That's their run in the middle of the season. And they've got Val injured. I don't know what happened to him last night, but he only played 20 minutes and he went off. And they've also got their skipper, Michael Morgan, out until about round 8. So I just think with some of these sides at the start of the year, you mightn't have thought we're going to – I didn't think Penrith were going to play the way that they are. You know, Parramatta, we thought they were going to be okay. But these sides are now challenging. And at the bottom of the eight at the moment, you're finding teams like the Roosters and Manly and so on. I just think it's going to be just a bit too hard for the Cowboys from here on.
Running.
I'm with Gerds. I think with what they've played and where they're currently at, I can't see them beating the better sides at the moment. You know, they'd need a Morgan back to give them a bit of experience in the halves. At the moment, they've got a rookie hooker who's been a terrific buy from the Dragons, but he's a rookie. They've got two rookie halves playing, who both played a handful of games each, so they've just got too much inexperience in those key positions, and now Val's hurt as well. So with their run they've got coming, I'm not seeing them in the eight.
I agree. Just because of their run, and they were terrible without Taumalolo, and everyone said, oh, well, he'll be the saviour. He's back. They'll win. But the Warriors managed to contain him pretty well. I don't even think made 100 metres or around about that. So I think potentially they are done.
Okay. The bunker, and just quickly, we could talk on this forever, obviously. It happened last week, but after our show last week, the bunker should be allowed to rule on forward passes.
No.
Peter Sterling is cringing. He's running from the room screaming.
I love it. I've got to say to you, no.
I'm a no.
You're a no?
No, I don't think so.
Why would that? You can get a decision right when it's wrong.
Yeah, you can. But, you know, I just think the game's handled that situation last week with the pass. I think Manly started it by handling it with such grace. Mm-hmm. And I think the whole game's followed. I think the fact that we've gone back to less officials on the field, everyone's happy about that, and we know there's going to be human error. And I'd much rather see human error and the game put their hand up and say, we've got that wrong, then have all the technology in place and then get the error as well with the time included. So I think we're winning.
Well,
even at the
moment, with the technology, it's ultimately a human error, isn't it?
It is. It's difficult with the angles. It's too. Yep. It's not 100%. And if you're not going to get an exact answer, what's the point? I think you just stick with the refs. And as you said, Gerds, they're going to make mistakes. But I think since we've come back, they've been pretty good.
Yep.
All right. The captain's challenge is a success. Em?
Yes. I like it, yep. In the beginning, I wasn't happy with the way teams were using it. They were using it really early on, which seemed a bit silly, but I think they've been holding it to a bit later in the game. And we've had a few sides that have had some successful ones and got a couple in each game, so I like it.
Brownie?
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. We actually trialled something a few years ago when us and the Dragons both couldn't make the eight, where it wasn't actually a captain's challenge as a decision on the field. You had a captain's challenge on a try being scored against you, and you could challenge if you wanted to.
Yep.
And I found that much more effective because it took the video referee out of the equation. So I think we got beat 28-26 or 30-28 or something. There was about 10 tries scored. Nothing went to the video referee. Yep. Because if you challenge and lose and you're not 100%, then the referee can just award tries, and then you can't go and challenge again. So right, one each half. Same sort of principle, but I found that good because the video referee, which is obviously a useful tool, just stops the game for so long. So I like to that sort of format better than the one we're using.
I like it.
Yeah, that's it. Because you've got to go up and have a little rest now, don't you? Have a little sit down for half an hour.
I'm fatigued.
You are fatigued. Peter Sterling will join us next on
I'm
Saturday,
Junior Paulo.
Saturday Scrum. I'm off.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.